This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show. Every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
This is, of course, Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for the LGBTI community, taking you around the globe, one country at a time. A big thank you to JJ for the hits and Gary for bringing us the latest local news. On the Worldwide Wave panel tonight, we have Ian.
Hi there.
Matt.
Hello.
And myself, Alex. On Easter Sunday, 40 years ago, three friends donned nuns' habits that they had happened to have around and walked through the streets of San Francisco. So began an international order of men dressed as nuns, dedicated to activism and supporting the LGBTI community. They are, of course, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
What a great history. What role have the sisters played in activism around the globe?
How has the Catholic Church reacted to the nuns over the years?
And what does it actually take to join this very special order of nuns? To help us share in the celebrations of the 40th anniversary of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, tonight we speak with Melissa Wilcox, who's Professor in Religious Studies at the University of California, Riverside, and author of the book Queer Nuns, Religion, Activism, and Serious Parody.
Worldwide Rap.
Some things go out of style, but Worldwide Wave never does. You're on Joy 94.9.
Yeah.
know you were singing along just like we were here in the studios. What an old favourite that is. Sisters are doing it for themselves because we are doing the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence tonight, celebrating their 40th year. Messages 0427 joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au. Actually, a bit of action on Facebook. Elvis says awesome to the fact that Turkey has lifting the ban on pride events. And the Brunei story continues. I don't know if you read in the week that the European Parliament chastised them quite significantly. Brunei has now responded, but Keith says at least the EU Parliament has principles. So send us your messages 0427 joy 949.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
Now, the first House of Perpetual Indulgence began officially in San Francisco in 1979, but the history goes even further than that, as far as I recall, to the days of the Coquettes and Sylvester, who was a member of the Coquettes for some period, and even the Divine, the most fabulous Divine, who was also a member of the Coquettes, I think for about 2 days. But our first house was here in Sydney in 1981, and there were other houses all over the world, including America, Australia, Colombia, England, France, Germany, New Zealand, Scotland, and Uruguay, with the collective numbers of sisters, old and new, over the years, totaling many hundreds.
Uruguay, there you go. Mm. Now, the sisters have four tenets.
You must believe in these tenets to be a sister. Yes.
It is incredibly structured. I didn't know this prior to doing this interview, that it is structured and almost in many ways mirrors the Catholic Church itself. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a parody of religion.
Yeah, and exactly. So their tenets do exactly that. So the first tenet is the granting of perpetual indulgences. And this is basically...
I'm liking it already.
This is their response to the idea that, you know, in the tradition of Catholicism, and that one is sent to purgatory to await one's time in the afterlife, either up or down. And the Order of Perpetual Indulgence plays around this, and they like the idea of that they are happy to give out in their perpetual indulgences, which allow people to indulge perpetually in being themselves, in their sexuality, in their joy. So basically allowing you permanently off the hook of guilt.
It's kind of an afterlife waiting room, they say.
I bless you, Alex, for that. Yes. The second tenet is the expiation of stigmatic guilt. You can see that I'm not a Catholic. And so to expiate is to atone for sin or wrongdoing, to make amends for. And that's one of the habits that is being practiced by many Christians these days, and that is stigmatizing homosexuality as being sinful and making people feel guilty for really what is just a natural expression for them.
I particularly like the third tenet, the promulgation of universal joy. And being on Joy, we're a part of this, I feel. Essentially running around telling people, everybody, that joy as a concept is for everyone and not just for a chosen few people.
And shouldn't that really be a central tenet of every religion? And some religions do that far more successfully than others.
Indeed.
This idea. And the final, the fourth tenet is the public manifestation through habitual
perpetration. Yeah, I read that the wrong way first time too.
Which means simply getting out in public and being seen. So that's the whole mission of the sisters, is to go out, be seen. You can't accomplish anything by sitting at home and complaining about the world, but you must be out there seen and heard. Sometimes just being there, not performing any special activity, but just being seen. That is a powerful message of support and awareness.
Share your views with the world. SMS us now on 0427 joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
Now, they look like nuns, but they certainly don't act like nuns. They're the proudest, queerest nuns in the world, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Melissa Wilcox is a professor in religious studies at the University of California, Riverside. Over 8 years, she's been peeking under the habit of the iconic sisters in order to write her book, Queer Nuns, Religion, Activism, and Serious Parody. We asked Melissa how the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence began.
The Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence began by accident and out of boredom in San Francisco in 1979. I'm fond of saying that the story of their beginning could be told as the start to a tasteless joke, something like a Catholic, a Jew, and a Mennonite walk into a gayborhood. They were pretty much a former Catholic, a former Mennonite, and someone who still identified as Jewish but wasn't intensely practicing. They were bored. They happened to have some retired nuns' habits sitting around. How that happened is another part of the story. And they put them on. One of them put on a little makeup and grabbed a toy machine gun, and they walked out into the gay Castro district in San Francisco. They realized that they were getting very, very powerful reactions, positive ones, from the people around them. And one of the founders called them psychological train wrecks. So they decided to do it again and got similar reactions and thought, well, we should do something with this.
If anything like that was going to happen, it was going to happen in San Francisco in the 70s. It sort of came out of this anti-religious conservatism in America, yet that has gone worldwide. Why do you think this idea has been so transferable and so recognizable across different countries and cultures?
It's most transferable and most recognizable in cultures that have a significant Christian population and a well-known population as part of their culture, but also are not intensely Roman Catholic. So the sisters have struggled in very Catholic countries. There have not been successful houses in places like Italy, Spain, Ireland has tried, hasn't fully gotten off the ground yet, to my knowledge. And likewise in South America, I've been told by the sisters in Uruguay, for instance, that part of their success, in their opinion, is that Uruguay is one of the more secular countries in Latin America and one of the countries that takes its Catholicism a little more lightly. So part of it is being familiar with the symbolism of the Roman Catholic nun, which is where a lot of the parody began with the sisters, but at the same time being willing to see nuns both claimed by queer people and also parodied. So that's a part of it. At the same time, I think that there's been a long history, and many other scholars have written about this before me, of a kind of campy approach to activism. So the sisters brought that, but then they also brought this additional piece of both camping and campily critiquing a religion that many people saw as oppressive to LGBT communities, and at the same time also saying, and we are nuns, we are serving those communities the way that nuns would be if nuns were serving our community. So we are another order of nuns, and we're actually working here in those communities.
That's Melissa Wilcox on the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Coming up, we hear of the negative and the positive responses from the Catholic Church to the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. This is Worldwide Wave.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ludwig Mohamed Zahid. I'm a gay imam speaking from France on Worldwide Wave.
It's a show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Tonight, we are looking at the 40th anniversary of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Let us know your thoughts, 0427JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au. Now, there's no discussion about the sisters without talking about their names, because they have some of the wittiest, most intriguing variety of names.
Indeed. I could just laugh at these all day.
Sister Kilda Wabbit.
Yes, Kilda Wabbit. Yes, I love Sister Rhoda Kill and Sister Pentecostal.
Sister Mary Hairy Fairy.
Sister Bridget Over Troubled Waters.
Yes, that's a great one. And
I love the ones that actually bring in the real, you know, they really take the piss out of something religious when they put it together.
Indeed, indeed.
Sister Flirtation.
Sister So Many Men.
Now, there's one here that's a name that I actually know. So Sister Mary Tyler Moore, star of stage and screen. I do know that, actually, is a famous academic from Melbourne at La Trobe University. Maybe I won't mention the name, but maybe you can tweet in, Gary, and give us your permission.
I think you just outed someone. I don't know. Can you out somebody? Or I guess one of the things is about being visual and being out there. So
I think it's a matter of public record, yes.
Right, right.
Sister Daisy Chain, did we have that one?
Yeah.
No, and I love this. Mother cardiopulmonary resuscitation too, also known as Sister Mary Jumpstart.
Oh, look, there's loads. We might come back to some more of those as we talk Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
Author of the book Queer Nuns, Melissa Wilcox, has been explaining how the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence spread around the world. And here she explains how they got their start in Australia.
In fact, in Sydney, there was a strong connection between the early sisters and the Gay Liberation Choir. So that same kind of campy, kind of in-your-face performative activism, very much connecting between the choir and the sisters. And I think that that was a big part of the resonance.
Is the order a charity, a protest, or a drag performance?
Yes. It's all three. And I think that that's part of the key. So different countries handle the charity aspect differently in terms of their relationship to the government. In the U.S., the sisters are all registered 501c3s, which is the formal tax designation for a charity. In other countries, they keep a little bit more of a distance from the government. It varies depending on the government itself, depending on the activist perspective of the people in any given house or in any given order. Sometimes orders are country by country. But they definitely do fundraising, they do education, they do a lot of things that charities do. They are also activists, more or less, depending on the house. Or maybe a better way of saying it is the type of activism varies depending on the house. Some of them are out in the streets marching on a regular basis. Some of them do their activism through providing AIDS medications for people that can't afford them. Some of them through education and outreach. It varies. And then, of course, they're doing it in various forms of drag. So all of those pieces come together.
One of the activism types that was mentioned when I was researching this was reducing guilt and shame in the LGBTQ community and other marginalized groups. Tell us a bit about that.
So the sisters in San Francisco actually authored the very first sex positive safer sex guide for gay men. And in that, they have a list of sexually transmitted infections. Quite chilling to read because it was published in 82. And so they don't mention HIV or AIDS. HIV hadn't been discovered yet and AIDS hadn't been named. They talk about Kaposi's sarcoma and they talk about pneumocystis pneumonia. In addition to that list, though, they list guilt and shame as an STI. And they do that because they're really trying to target the ways that at the time for that particular publication, gay men and more broadly now LGBTQ communities are impacted by not just religious messages, but broader moral messages that still say who you are and what you do with your life are wrong. They're sinful. You're going to be punished. You should be punished. You are being punished. So one of the key tenets of the mission statement, right from the time that it was written in 1980 in San Francisco, was the expiation of stigmatic guilt.
Some people might say that the sisters cross a line. They push things whilst they're there pushing things. They might push things too far. Do you think they can harm how LGBT communities are seen in some way?
There are certainly some people who think that. That's not my opinion, but it depends on who you think is included in LGBT communities. So if you're really looking only to count or to include people who are cisnormative, who are making the argument that we're just the same as everybody else, by which they usually mean straight, white, middle or upper middle class, often Christian, then that's where you see the argument that, well, the sisters are ruining it for us. I would say the sisters are just reminding activists like that that the community is broader than they think it is, and trying to recreate at their best, trying to recreate space or create more space for parts of our community that are larger than that sort of narrow perspective.
What has been the reaction of the Catholic Church across time, I guess, to this presence that, you know, is mocking them?
Well, it's varied. It depends on what you count as the Catholic Church as well. If we're talking specifically about the hierarchy, there have been a number of times, or I should say a majority of the time, there hasn't been a lot of attention paid to the sisters, but there have also been situations, especially particular incidents, where they've come much, much more to the fore. There was a situation in San Francisco a little bit over a decade ago where two sisters attended Mass in habit. They attended to see what the Archbishop was going to say, because there was a new Archbishop in San Francisco. It was his first time at the parish that's in the Castro District, the gay district of San Francisco. And they just wanted to be there to represent the community. The video record of their presence there shows them being very respectful, taking part in the whole ceremony. One of them is Roman Catholic. They both went up and took communion. But everything really blew apart afterwards. There was enormous conservative outrage over the presence of Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence in habit at the Mass. And the Archbishop, who had served them communion without blinking an eye, ended up having to apologize. He didn't last much longer as an archbishop, although I can't say whether that was the reason why. There are Roman Catholic priests and nuns who have supported the work that the sisters are doing and have collaborated with them on various initiatives that they've had. So within the church itself, there's been a widely varied approach to the sisters. And certainly some sisters are themselves Roman Catholic, although not the majority.
It is set up as a proper order, though. So why would somebody want to become a Sister of Perpetual Indulgence? And I guess how hard is it to get in? It's not just a matter of putting on a habit, is it?
And no, it's absolutely not. It was at one time, but those days are past. So people who were hoping to just do it that way have missed the boat. It takes in most houses about a year to become a fully professed sister, and they follow a similar trajectory to that followed by Roman Catholic nuns. You start out as an aspirant, basically just saying that you're aspiring to join the order. Then you become, if all goes well, you become a postulant. You spend a period of time as a postulant. You become a novice. And then after your novitiate, if you're successful, you are elevated to be a fully professed sister. People often speak of having a calling to the sisters, just as people might speak of having a calling to the ministry or to Roman Catholic nuns or monks order. So they join the order because they're wanting to serve their community. And many people will say that they're drawn both to the twin mission of the sisters to promulgate joy and expiate guilt. They love the fact that they can do the activism that they're drawn to in glitter, especially in the orders that use makeup and glitter. You see that less in the Australian order, but also the idea of being able to do it in drag. And also many people see this work as a part of their own religious or spiritual practice.
And that was Melissa Wilcox, author of the book Queer Nuns, Religion, Activism and Serious Parody.
It really is, at its core, a service organisation. People do join at its heart, and it's got this really long history of service and fundraising for causes and taking up fights for groups, minorities, even within the LGBTI community who haven't been able to find their own voice as well. Particularly in those early days when HIV and AIDS was completely misunderstood. So they were doing lots of fundraisers and even just caring for people who were, you know, dying with this unknowing disease, giving somebody with AIDS a hug.
there was that compassion, Matt, but also I think that the sisters, you know, I come from an HIV activism background myself, and what they really brought was an anarchism to shake things up, and that's what they've always done, to say that things don't need to be how they are. And so when we were listening in that interview to how the sisters were identifying the importance of stigma way back 20, 30 years ago.
I love
ago.
That. Guilt and shame, yeah, and STI. I love that.
That's mainstream now when we think about what's good for LGBTI people in health and well-being. But they were way out there, and they were doing things that no one else was doing at that time. I also love what they were doing around gender bending, or the language we use in gay slang, and I'm just looking it up on Wikipedia here, is genderfuck. You know, is that they were following in that tradition of the Coquettes and Mark Bolan and Prince and Grace Jones and all and Boy George and RuPaul in the present day. But they were taking a very old tradition, and they were using it for good. They were using it for social activism, and very, very powerful. I remember, I'll just give you a little story of here. When I first came to Sydney about 18 years ago, I went to one of the regular events which the Sydney chapter still run, which is the Mardi Gras event in Taronga Zoo. And I was just looking on...
they basically take Mardi Gras visitors for a tour around the zoo.
Yes, they do. And you get to meet all these wonderful... So 18 years ago, I met a whole bunch of those social activists and spoke to them about what they were doing. The Melbourne chapter, I believe, has pretty much expired, almost literally, which is very sad. But as the roots of our social activism, with the roots of LGBTI pride work that we do, the sisters have been hugely important. I just can't say enough good about them.
And that's why they're celebrating their 40th anniversary just this past weekend. We're talking Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. This is World Wide Wave.
Hello and goedenavond. This is Elko, listening in from the Netherlands on World Wide Wave, the latest LGBT news and current affairs on joy.org.au.
I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like you, but I gotta think twice before I give my heart away. And I know all the games you play, because I play them too. Oh, but I need some time off from that emotion. Time to pick my heart up off the floor. I gotta have faith. I gotta have faith. Because I got to have faith. I got to have faith. Faith, faith. Baby! I know you're asking me to stay. Say please, please, please don't go away. You say I'm giving you the blues. Maybe. You mean every word you say. I can't help but think of yesterday. And another who tied me down to love a boy.
Bit of faith there with George Michael. Because we're talking all things Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, got to have faith.
I think he would have made a good sister.
I wonder what his sister. Name would have been. Very bad sister, I would think. You can send us your messages, 0427JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au. Podcasts, we've been watching particularly the Brunei podcast, which we did a couple of weeks ago about the horrid laws they brought in there, and a conversation we had with a gay man inside Brunei. We changed his name and protecting his privacy. It's going amazingly. It is being downloaded left, right and centre. And we've covered about 150 countries, and we've got podcasts of all of them. If you go to joy.org.au/worldwidewave, you can see them all. But it's on your favourite podcast platform. You can get it on iTunes, and we're now on Spotify. So if you subscribe to any of those, we just keep dropping them into you. We've had Kenya recently, Cook Islands last week.
We had Commonwealth.
Trans people in the USA military.
Yes,
Pretty much.
Juicy topics.
Whatever pushes your buttons, you'll find it. joy.org.au/worldwidewave. But tonight, we are speaking all things Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, and they are, as we were saying before, known for their witty names. We asked our guest, Melissa, if she had a favourite name.
Oh my gosh, I'm not sure that I could nominate a best one. So many of them are so, so good. I'm particularly fond of the religious puns since I'm trained in the study of religion. So in some ways, I think I would have to default back to some of the earliest sisters. One of the founders initially called himself Sister Missionary Position. Is a sister who, another founder who started out as Sister Vicious Power Hungry Bitch. another founder is Sister Hysterectoria, which was a feminist reference for him. And then it's probably worth not forgetting one of the founders of the Sydney House, so really one of the founders of the Australian Order, Mother Inferior.
Now, you have a very strong interest, can I maybe say obsession, because you've been writing this book for 8 years. Where does that that strong interest come from?
That's a good question. I'm not sure I can entirely answer it. The sisters are from my hometown. I'm from the one of the suburbs of San Francisco. I would have been a fairly young child when they started. So I actually can't remember the first time I saw a Sister of Perpetual Indulgence, probably at a pride parade, probably when I was in my late teens or my early 20s. So there's probably something about them having something to do with home. But I'm very drawn not just to activism, but to provocative, performative activism. And I'm also, so as a scholar, very drawn to religion when it does things that I don't expect. I've often said to people that religion gets my attention when it makes me want to hit myself on the forehead and say, what on earth just happened? So that means that I've been drawn to writing about the sisters for quite some time. It took a while to figure out how to initially frame the project. But once I did and was able to start working on it, then I really was able to let the order guide me in terms of what needed to be written about and what there was to learn.
And the end result is the book Queer Nuns, Religion, Activism and Serious Parody. The author, Melissa Wilcox from the University of California, Riverside. Melissa, thank you so much for joining us and sharing all the news of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Thank you.
It's the 40th anniversary of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. This last Sunday they celebrated. They had a big party in San Francisco. I've just posted on Facebook. If you go to our Facebook page, W3Joy or Worldwide Wave on Facebook, you'll see some of the great photos they have on there. They have a, what's the Jesus competition called? Hunky Jesus contest. So hunky guys get dressed up like Jesus and they have a competition.
I would love to see that or be a judge on that. Yes.
Would you ever consider becoming a sister?
I'm a non Well, I'm not baptized, so I was the one in the family that was left out. The rest are all Catholic, but my parents gave me a choice.
Never too late.
But I've always been quite partial to the saffron of Buddhist monks, and I've always loved. So I wonder if I could be like a
You're doing it for the fabric, are you?
A multi faith. Well, I just like the colour orange of the Buddhist monks. So I wonder if I could be the interfaith, start an interfaith version. So,
Ian? But Alex, you have to lose the facial hair, don't you, if you're going to be a monk?
No, I've seen nuns with facial hair, yes.
No, but you can be a nun with facial hair. So I've actually got facial hair the last couple of years. So maybe that is one thing that makes me eligible. I've never done drag, but I would never say never.
Ooh, we'll have to come up with some names. I think that's
got to be on your list, Ian. I think it's just something one has to do once in one's life.
I think the thing about being a sister, though, is you have to be asked. You have to be. Yes. It has to be the word of God has to come down and to ask you.
Well, there's something very flattering about wearing those habits because they do hide a multiple of sins. So I'm sure there's a reason there that they're popular.
You are on Worldwide Wave.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
Radiothon 2019 is less than a month away. That's right, it's Joy's most important time of the year. Stay tuned over the coming weeks as we announce the incredible prizes on offer and some of the amazing radio moments you can expect. Get ready to renew your membership, and if you're not a member, there's never been a better time to sign up for the first time. Radiothon 2019, starting on May 17th. Love, Joy.
Hello, I'm Micaela, the producer of El Hombre Nuevo, speaking from Uruguay for Worldwide Wave.
Oh, it's been fun tonight. I have enjoyed tonight's show. Radiothon, yes, it's huge. If you've never been through one, the place here is just rocking for it. It's a week-long celebration. The theme this year, Love, Joy. It's about what joy brings to the community. Things like tonight's stories that you just really wouldn't hear on any other radio station in Australia and probably most of the world.
Indeed.
Because we are, in fact, the longest running radio show for international LGBT news and current affairs in the world.
I don't know where else you would get a show like this. We had Sister Aretha. We had the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. I got to say gender.
You're hooked on Sister Aretha.
I am.
You were singing out loud.
That's another story. We got to talk HIV activism. There's so much fabulous about Joy. And that's why we have Radiothon, so you can come and support it.
Excellent. Now, a big thank you to our guest tonight, Melissa Wilcox, a professor in religious studies at the University of California, Riverside. The book is called Queer Nuns, Religion, Activism and Serious Parody. It's available at Hares and Hyenas in Melbourne, the bookshop at Darlinghurst in Sydney, or check your favourite online bookstore.
And thank you to all the messages, Facebook from Roy, Patrick, Selena, Alicia, Elvis and a heap more who've joined and interacted with us on Facebook this week. That's it. W3Joy on Facebook and SMSs and emails.
And behind the scenes, our podcast will be thanking Alex and our social media master, Dean.
You're welcome.
And coming up, Geeks Out with Miranda and Co. This is where you get your geek world stories on tech, gadgets, sci-fi, horror, anything that gets your geek motor running, but all with an LGBTI perspective.
I wonder if they'll be talking tonight about Game of Thrones, or if that's outside their jurisdiction.
Is that geeky?
Well, it's not really sci-fi or horror, but I suppose it's fantasy. I thought that might be in their jurisdiction.
I haven't watched episode two yet.
No, neither have I. Don't worry. No fear of spoilers here.
Now, Brad has just messaged in before we go saying, regarding your comments for the love of saffron colour, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence of Melbourne did Pride March in full rainbow habits.
Oh,
wonderful.
Lovely.
Thank you, Brad.
Saffron, yes.
To take us out, some more religion, priesty / nunny type music. A bit of prayer.
Where are you taking us?
We're doing Pray by Tina Cousins. We will catch you next week on Worldwide Wave.
See ya.
Oh,
Thanks for listening to another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online across the world at joy.org.au. You'll find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.